Nick, you are the center of the universe. Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, now you guys are putting together an app for meditation, and you're using AI. Explain to me, number one, how did you come up with that idea, and what does it really consist of?
Yeah, so how we came up with the idea was pretty simple. So I teach meditation, and I meditate quite a bit. And when I meditate, I enter this flow state where I meditate maybe an hour. It feels like 10 minutes or even less. So I figure that we could use, if we can detect this flow state, right, during meditation, we can actually help people meditate longer and give them feedback so that my method of teaching can reach them. Or you want to add anything to that?
Yeah. So I think one of the major challenges with this assessing how well you're meditating is once you realize that you've entered a flow state or you're really in it, you're out of it immediately. And you can't really tell yourself, and teachers can't really tell very easily. And one of the unique things about artificial intelligences is that it can pick up on patterns that are not easily detectable by humans. So by using this tool that can sort of look in and find things that we can't is the perfect mechanism for assessing something that is ultimately unseeable by the practitioner as well as the teacher.
Now, what are you doing? Measuring the temperature of the body, the pulse, the brain? What is it that's giving you this information feedback?
So it all comes through a video. We take the video feed, and through that video feed, we're able to extract biometric data just by using image and video processing. And in conjunction with that biometric data, we run the video feed into an artificial intelligence. That artificial intelligence can extract or estimate what state the practitioner is in. And by using that and conglomerating all of the data that we've collected, along with using the application ourselves, we've been able to come up with a metric as to whether one's in flow or not, and how long they've been in flow, and how consistent they are over time.
And this is all based on just visuals.
Yes.
You can do a lot with a camera nowadays.
Is it safe to say, though, that you would work with another matrix where you would hook into the heartbeat? Or it just seems to me there could be other facilities you could be adding to this.
Well, the heartbeat is being extracted via the video camera. We're getting the pulse from video data.
But wouldn't another measurement be even more accurate to add to that?
Absolutely. But being an engineer is good enough. Where we want to be at. And I think that the more instrumentation that you place on someone, like let's say you make them wear an Apple Watch or one of these fitness bands to get very precise data, it doesn't add a lot of value because the AI is able to take and sift through the noise effectively. So that's one bit of it. And then the second bit of it, it's intrusive. And if someone's meditating and they're all instrumented up, it may be distracting and it's going to skew the data. It comes down to that quantum problem where you have something, and then once you observe it, it changes states. And in the act of attempting to observe it, you're modifying the behavior of the thing that you're trying to measure.
Now, in terms of Plains language for our audience, now, because it's such just visual, based on just the visual, it seems to me that the color, let's say if you've been in the sun and you've been sunbathing, would that affect that heat radiating off the body? Would that change the visual dynamic of the matrix?
Absolutely. And that's why it's important for someone to do this regularly so that the AI can sift through the noise and continue to learn and work through those types of issues. It's not going to be perfect from the get-go. And those are definitely concerns that we've had doing testing in different lighting, different temperatures, different settings to see how it impacts the algorithm.
So it seems to me, though, another approach would be to use this app with people who are sick, like have a cold, people who have different maladies that might be going through, they're having digestive problems. It just seems to me, since it's such a visual thing, that whatever a person's going through physically in terms of any kind of minor ailment could also affect your data in terms of the accuracy, wouldn't it?
Absolutely. And it's not that we're looking for perfect accuracy. It's about getting someone to practice regularly and showing improvement over time. You might have a bad day, you might have a good day, and the more data that's collected, the more useful it is. It's really just a tool to be able to give some real-time feedback. And yeah, there may be issues associated with when someone's sick or they're not feeling well, but that's not necessarily going to be a consistent thing. Or if someone is chronically ill, it may be consistent, but the thought and hope is that if someone is practicing this regularly, they will be able to see improvement and have measurable improvement and feedback given to them by use of this application.
So clearly the important thing about this is the consistency, because that way the AI is gathering data so it can sift through what is considered a normal state versus an aberration that might be occurring.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And what do you have a name for this product that you're putting together? Is there a certain technology, or you're just using known technology, or have you created a technology that's somewhat different?
So we're using some classical algorithms that are well understood in academia. We're also using neural networks, and those neural networks are very well studied. The unique thing with all of this artificial intelligence business is how you collect the data and what you choose as its inputs and outputs. And the inputs and outputs, I think, are really the unique bit with our technology that we've developed. And the name of it is Flow AI, obviously, because we're trying to detect flow state within practitioners of meditation. And as you said, it might be applicable to many other fields where you can detect whether someone's actually concentrating very well, or how well one's studying, or whether someone's sick or not. There are lots of ways to apply it, and the real secret sauce is what you put into it and what you're expecting to get out of it. The in-between of the neural network is pretty well studied.
Okay, so this app that you're using, does it have a name, or how do people access this? Is it on the App Store or the Play Store at this time?
It is not.
Yeah, so this app is, you can access it with a web browser from the phone or from your laptop. It's camera-based, so it doesn't require for another person to download the app from the App Store. So it's universally accessible if you have a computing device with a camera.
So wait a minute, you don't need the app then, technically?
Yeah, technically, you just go to our website when it's launched and log in and use it.
Oh, I see. So you'll use it in conjunction with your website.
Yeah, it's accessible via a web browser. You don't need any special program outside of your web browser and maybe the internet connection to use it.
Interesting. Now, are you using this with the students? Because you teach meditation on Wednesday nights in Ojai, California. We're speaking with Nick and Vu, who have put together this artificial intelligence for meditation. And you're doing this, and you work with your students on a Wednesday night?
We have a couple of people who have volunteered to record themselves. So what we've first done is we record ourselves in a video, right? And then we feed the video into the, I would say the Flow AI, and then we extract the data. And then, so that's how we were testing it to see if it works or not. We have hundreds and hundreds of hours of meditation. But now what Nick is doing it, is optimizing it for the web so that we can use, so people can access it more reliably.
Yeah, because what we started out with to actually develop the technology, as Vu said, is we recorded many, many meditation sessions and then fed them into the algorithm and took a look and saw what the results said. Took a look at all of the real-time data, and based on that, adjusted what we were inputting into the AI and what we were inputting into the other various algorithms to come up with something that ultimately gives you a score. And that score we practiced with and ran for a few months, meditating every day. and took a look at our progress, took a look at days where we weren't feeling too hot and said, hey, what's it say? Are you meditating well? Are you meditating badly? And see what it would do. And now we're at a point where we think that it's providing meaningful feedback. So taking that original application that essentially took pre-recorded videos and converting that into something that can be processed in real time is what we're currently working on. Because the initial write of the software that we were doing our algorithm development with was relatively slow. So now if you want to process this data in real time, you have to speed it up, which means that you need more optimized algorithms. So they're functionally identical. We're just taking the or trimming the fat, if you will.
But aren't you like a catch-22 situation, though? Aren't you trying to find a level that it would be the perfect logarithm, basically? But how do you assess that? How, I mean, in terms of your own meditation, you're going to have to base that on your own personal experience versus the AI. Is that what you're sorting out, basically, trying to understand the correlation between how you know if for example, you feel, oh, I had this great meditative session, but then the AI says, well, this wasn't so hot.
Yeah, no, it is challenging. And there have been sessions like that where, like, well, I said, hey, you know, this was great. And the AI said, no, you weren't doing too well. But then you go, and that was the cool part about this project is going back and re-reviewing the video, and you feel like you've had a good session, but you're moving all over the place and you're not really there, and you can see it. You can see it when you re-review and look at yourself. And being able to do that is something that would not be possible without the AI telling you, hey, you weren't doing too hot.
So it seems to me the temperature then of your skin would have some maybe factor. Do we know that if you're in a deep meditative state, the body gets cooler? Does it get warmer? There must be some temperature element that's connected with this as well.
Yeah, I mean, there, in the traditional sense, yeah, when you go into really, really deep state for a while, your body temperature does work. But most people... I would say who haven't meditated 10,000 hours or 20,000 hours, based on our research and the results that we collected, they enter flow state for 10 to 15 seconds at a time. And I think that's the same as what the Tibetans call Dharmakaya, right? So right now, that's where our AI is able to detect that really deep state where, you know, the brain goes into another dimension and you feel ecstasy, right? That's the flow state we're able to detect. As far as the general resetting of the body or lowering the heart rate and lowering the blood pressure, our AI, our system is not trained to do an overall assessment of the session. We're only able to figure out the flow state when people enter that unique flow state while they're meditating.
One question that comes to mind then, and excuse me for asking this question, but have you experimented with various types of racial implications with the visual, whether it's a Latino versus an Asian versus a black gentleman or woman? I mean, a Native American, would the skin quality, color, would that have any effect on this at all?
Yeah, I think it does, definitely, but lighting has a more effect on the algorithm than skin color. But we haven't tested all ethnicities in all lighting conditions in all resolutions yet. So when we launch it, we hope to expand the testing to additional beta testers.
And then I think also one other point is our initial training sets for the baseline were just based on images gathered. And that was that training set had a diverse sample set from all walks of life.
Well, so do you have a website you can give people information to go to look at what you're doing and see if they can sign up or find out more information about what you're doing?
Well, our company name is Sainthood, SANEHOOD.com. We don't have a website yet. We're still, in stealth mode right now.
Yeah.
So we will launch it once we, within the next month or so, once we finish rewriting the Flow AI for the web.
Well, that's wonderful. You know, thank you so much for taking the time, bringing us up to date. I'm looking forward to once you finally launch this website, I'll definitely give it a try. I'll have our audience take a look at it as well, and we'll have you back on. And once you finally have got this thing up and running, we look forward to working with it.
Yeah, but if anybody, you know, partners out there that want to work with us, we'd be happy to collaborate and speak with them and see where we can do the most good together.
In terms of people in AI who are doing the kind of work that you're doing, at least in that ball field?
AI or the crypto space, one of our main things we want to do is encourage people to meditate. As our tagline is, meditate and earn tokens. So when you meditate and you get a score and then you earn some crypto tokens on our platform, which can be redeemed for good and services on the platform. So then the crypto space, there are, you know, we're always looking to collaborate with people, with other companies in the health and wellness space as well. So let us know.
Yeah, it seems to me, if I may, it's the obvious concept to me is eventually having an app that maybe gets on your Apple Watch or your Android phone where it would actually measure that. So you can, while you're meditating, you're being measured. And it looks like the new watches coming out are going to have cameras on them. So that could be an added feature that you could have if these phone or the watches have cameras to them. Then just set that little watch up there and no matter where you are and visually meditate with your watch.
Right. One of our initial requirements or ideas is that we want to make meditation accessible to everybody. And by, you know, getting an Android phone or an Apple Watch, that costs quite a bit of money for a lot of people in the world who don't have the money to buy those things. So that's why we developed, you know, this through the, so that's why this is accessible through a computer or a cell phone, which over 4 billion people already have.
Wow.
Yeah, we would prefer to be more system agnostic and as simple as possible so that everyone around the world has access to it, not just those that can afford Apple Watches and Samsung Watches and expensive smartphones.
Well, guys, thank you so much for joining us. I look forward to seeing you how you develop this. Now, you're in Ohio. Do you have a website for the meditations that you provide every Wednesday night in case somebody's traveling down to L.A. and they're in the Ohio area? Can they go to a website for your meditation classes on Wednesday night?
You know, I don't. It's been a private invitation and word of mouth, but if they contact you, feel free to give them my email or even my phone number, and they can just text me and I'll provide the details.
Well, give that information out right now. Now's your opportunity.
Yeah, so my email is qvdang@gmail.com, qvdang@gmail.com. Just feel free to reach out, and I'm pretty active on with my email, so that'd be great.
Terrific. Thank you, Nick. Thank you, Vu. It's always a pleasure to talk with you, Vu. And Nick, nice to meet you, and I look forward to seeing the progress that you guys come up with.
See ya.